Morning, everyone. This morning we are continuing in our series, Like Jesus, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And this morning it is my great pleasure to get to talk about money. Everyone's favorite subject, right? Get all the easy ones. Anyways, I wanted to start off with a question. And I want you to think about where you fall in line of this question, and we're going to come back to it as we go through the text, and especially as we wrap up, we're going to come to some conclusion, hopefully, on the answer to this question. And that question is making lots of money good or bad? Is it good or bad? Because, you know, if you're part of our culture would proclaim it to be quite good, right? I mean, the more money, the more stuff you can have, and the more comfortable life you can have, and everything is better the more money you have, right? But then on the other side, depending on what kind of Christian context you grew up in, sometimes if you make a lot of money, you're like almost made to feel guilty about it, like maybe it's not such a good thing. And maybe if you were able to make so much money, you must have done something wrong along the way, right? So, you know, there's kind of this, you know, if you're in the Christian context and you've grown up in that context or you've been in that context for a while, there's kind of this wrestling of, is it good? Is it bad? Is it in between? I don't know. And so you're left to struggle to think through this. And I hope that we'll get some clarity about this whole idea of money and if having a lot of it is a good thing or a bad thing or maybe in between. So let's jump into the text this morning. As I said, it is found in Mark chapter 10, and starting in verse 17, if you're following along on the screen or on your phone or with the good old-fashioned paper version, it says, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, this is quite interesting because Middle Eastern men didn't generally run. It's kind of frowned upon, right? Because you have to pull up your thing. You know, it's not very becoming, right? So, I mean, this guy's got some zeal to run up and fall on his knees before Jesus and ask him this question, right? Like, he really wants to know, to do this in a public place. I mean, you know, he's really putting himself out there. And so we need to take note of that he has some zeal about this. He really wants to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds by saying, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." You may have noticed a common phrase in there: "You shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not." And I think sometimes when it comes to Christianity and our faith, it's really, really easy to think that being a good follower of Jesus is defined by "you shall not." Right? As long as I don't do all those bad things that I'm not supposed to do, as long as I follow the rules, I must be on the right path. So, and this is what he responds. It says, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy." Now, one has to question whether he was really that rock solid at keeping all of these, but, you know, this is what he says. "You know, I've done a good job. I'm a good person. I followed all the rules, Jesus. I followed all the rules." Getting a little click happy here. And I think it's easy for us to think sometimes that we're justified by what we don't do. "Well, I don't do that, so I'm a pretty good person." Or, you know, maybe we hope that God judges on a sliding scale, right? "I don't do all those things, and these people do, so I must be on the right path. I must be doing okay." It's easy for us to think like this, isn't it? to justify ourselves by thinking, well, I don't do all these bad stuff, so I must be doing all right. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He says, one thing you lack. Now imagine, this guy is rich, and he says to him, one thing you lack. The guy, I wonder what the guy was thinking at this point. Like, I wonder if he was like, one thing I lack? What do I lack? I got all the money. I can get whatever I want. If I lack something, I can probably go buy it. Like, it's a really interesting word choice Jesus uses here. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. See, this young man is saying, Jesus, I didn't do any harm. I followed the rules. Well, Jesus is asking him, yeah, but what good? What good have you done with all that you've been given? What good have you done? What good have you done with it? This is what Jesus is challenging him on. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. One of the ways Jesus is challenging him is he says, look, God has blessed you with all of this. But the more God blesses you with, the more you have to be accountable for. So what good are you doing with what you've been given? That's part of what Jesus is asking him here. The other thing Jesus is challenging him about is where his allegiances lie. Do his allegiances lie with actually following Jesus? Or do they align over here with gaining more and more wealth? Does he really trust more in God or his money? That's essentially the question that's being asked of him. Does he trust God more than he trusts his money? Because if he truly trusts God more than he trusts money, then his response should be pretty clear here. All right, Jesus, I'm on it. I'm going to go sell it. I'll meet you back here tomorrow at noon, right? That would be the logical response of someone who trusts God more than his money. But the other side of it is, if he trusts his money more than he trusts God, he's probably going to choose not to follow Jesus and to continue on pursuing that. Essentially, Jesus is asking him, how bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want it? Do you want to follow me, to join me on the adventure that it is, to follow me, to really live all that you've been created to live out in your life? Do you want it bad enough? Are you willing to give it all up for me? The question's aptly applicable to us. How bad do we really want it? How bad do I really want it? Would I be willing to give it all up for him? Essentially, are you ready for Jesus to pull you out of your nice, comfortable, respectable life and into the adventure of following him? Right? This guy had a very nice, neat, put-together life. He's got all the money, so therefore he's got all the respect, and he's young to boot. I mean, he's got it going on. And Jesus says, are you willing to just let go of that and just give it all up and join me on the adventure and see what God does? See how God's kingdom breaks forth as you say, I'm investing in what's eternal instead of what's temporary. Here's the man's response. It says, at this, the man's face fell. Not so zealous anymore. He went away sad because he had great wealth. When faced with the choice of where his allegiances lie, he chose money. He chose money. See, a lot of us, we want goodness, We want eternal life. We want to follow Jesus. But few of us, I fear, want it bad enough to pay the price. You know, sometimes I think we're willing to follow Jesus up into a point. And I'm speaking to myself every bit as much here, because I'm by no means perfect in being willing to give it all up to follow. Are we willing to pay the price? Do we hold what we have loosely? Do we say, God, I know it's all really yours, so if you want it, it's yours. If you want it, it's yours. After seeing the man leave, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. Now, why would they be so amazed? Well, the general going consensus in the culture of that day was that if you were rich, if you were prosperous, it must mean you were a good person, because God blesses those who are good. And Jesus flips that on its head. In fact, Jesus takes it a step further. He says, but Jesus again said, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And at this kind of statement, at this figure of speech, the disciples are amazed, because they're like, who can enter the kingdom of God then, Jesus? We're going to see. This is going to be their response. Because here's the reality. Wealth makes it difficult to follow Jesus, because it is always the temptation to trust in it more than we trust in Jesus. William Barclay has a great quote on this. He says, for every 100 people that can withstand adversity, only one can withstand prosperity. Following Jesus while being prosperous, it's a challenge. Our allegiances will be put to the test. Jesus provides hope in this. Because when the disciples ask, who then can be saved? Jesus looks at them and says, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. God calls the wealthy to himself. I've had the privilege of meeting many people who have been quite prosperous, who use what God has given them for the purpose of caring for the poor, for the purpose of mission, for the purpose of seeing God's kingdom go forth. And so it's quite evident that you can be prosperous and still follow Jesus. Jesus makes a way. Jesus calls the wealthy unto himself. And, you know, just in case you're sitting here thinking, whew, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not wealthy. Technically, by world standards, everyone in here, this applies. We're probably all in this room in the top 5% of wealth in the world. So, there's that. Just in case you're like, well, I'm not rich, so whew, I'm good. Yeah, maybe not by North American standards, but by worldly standards, sorry. Okay, but God makes a way, and the way is by choosing to trust him and put him above our stuff. Now, I want to tell you a story about my son, my youngest son, Anson, because he really exemplified this for me one day. So, some of you met Pastor Isaiah when he was here in September from Myanmar. And he was here the previous September. And when he was here the previous September, he stayed in my home. And we were talking one night, and my kids were there with us. We were talking, and Pastor Isaiah was just talking about how his son had been begging him for those wheelie shoes. You know, the ones with the little kind of like wheel, and you can roll around on them. Heelys, I think sometimes they're called, right? He was like, I wanted one of those. Now, what Pastor Isaiah didn't know is that Anson had been given a pair of these by someone, and they were brand new, but they were too big. So every few weeks, he would try them on to see if they fit right, okay? No, still too big. Sorry, Anson. Oh, man. You know. And so Anson's listening to him, and while he's listening to him, we didn't even see, but he snuck away, and he goes to the closet, and he picks up the box that they're in, he brings it out, and he says, "Here, I think God wants your son to have these more than me." See, to me, that's what it looks like to hold what we have loosely. That was one of his most prized possessions in that time. It goes along with what we were talking about last week, about children and the kingdom, right? Sometimes kids can really show us what the kingdom looks like, can't they? And I was just like, so, in that moment, just so proud of my son, because he got what it meant to hold what he has loosely and to give it up when God asked him of it. He responded to how the Holy Spirit was stirring in him. And I think that's what God asked of all of us, regardless of how much we have, whether it's an awful lot or it's not so much. God asks, will we hold it loosely, and will we give as he asks of us? See, God may or may not ask you, like he did this man, to sell everything you have and give it all up for him. He may or may not ask you that. He may ask you to make more and give more up, right? I met a businessman the other day, and he was telling me he just keeps giving more, and then he keeps making more, so then he gives more away, and he's just like, this is so much fun. And I was like, wow, I need to meet more people like you. But this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like he realizes that he is being given that he might also freely give. And so this morning, as the worship team comes, I want to close by giving a couple thoughts and then a question for you to think through. When it comes to money, I really think that there's a couple things that really matter. One is how we get them. How do we get our money? How do we get our possessions? Do we do it in an honorable way? Because the Bible has a whole lot to say about unjust gain. Right? We're not going to get into all of that today. So how we get it matters. Do we do it in an upright, honest way that honors God? And secondly, how do we use them once we do have them? How do we use them? Do we use them for the purposes of his kingdom, or do we use them for the purposes of our kingdom? How do we use them? So as we close and we worship with one another again through song, I want us to think through this question. How is God asking you to use what he has given you for the purposes of his kingdom, whatever that looks like? How is God asking you to use what he has given you for the purposes of his kingdom? Let's pray and then let's worship together. Jesus, I thank you so much that you do love us, just like you love this rich young man. And I thank you that you make a way for all of us to follow you. And so, Jesus, I just pray this morning that you would make it just so clear to each and every one of us how it is that you want us to use what we've been given for the purposes of your kingdom. Just lead us by your Holy Spirit and reveal it to us. In your holy name we pray.